Good morning. This is Tuesday, October the 9th. We're at a city council work session. Present today is John Zobler, Deputy City Manager, Jay Musley, Councilman John McLeod, Councilman. Absent today is Mary Sue Rich, Councilwoman, and Councilman Daniel Owen will be coming in a few minutes late. This topic for discussion today is the billboard ordinance, and I will turn it over to Mr. Zobler.
Thank you, Madam President. As you recall, at the September 18th City Council meeting, staff presented a revision to the off-site sign ordinance, and after much discussion, it was requested that the ordinance be brought back for a workshop to discuss some of the remaining issues brought forward by the industry concerning that current draft. In the interim, staff Ty Chigazola, our Growth Management Director, and Patty Hitchcock met with representatives of the industry, specifically representatives of Clear Channel, and discussed the outstanding issues. And those outstanding issues are the amount of credit for removal of a non-conforming off-site sign, placement of off-site signs according to zoning requirements, and addressing setback requirements in a uniform manner. And so those issues were discussed. I did not attend those meetings. And at this time, I'd like to have Ty Chigazola kind of recap what was discussed at that meeting, what agreements have been reached at this point, and what our recommendations are to you. If needed, staff does have a PowerPoint presentation that could further explain some of the differences. But again, we don't believe those differences continue to exist. So without further ado, Ty, if you could pick up the conversation, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, we did meet with the industry, Clear Channel, specifically last Thursday. We think we worked out all our issues. The issue regarding the setback issue, Ty, Jim was all
single. Now I need you to turn your mic on.
I guess I did.
Thank you.
Thank you. We did meet with the industry last Thursday. We thought we were able to work out the issues. I think we have. The three kind of big issues was the setback issue, and I think for State Road 200, and we can address that as on a case-by-case basis at an administrative as part of the code, and I think we agreed that we would hold to the 30-foot setback. So on State Road 200 specifically, you wouldn't have to go into a much larger setback. So I think everybody's good on that. The issue of the zoning and the streets, the list of streets and everything, was kind of a big issue, and we have talked with Clear Channel specifically saying that what we're doing with the new comp plan, as you know, we're going to adopt a new comp plan next month with the new categories, and the zoning categories are going to significantly change. And so we felt like trying to get into that whole issue at this time with the changes that are coming, some of the zones that we currently have that allow the billboards might not in the future exist. So I think we all agreed to kind of put that issue on hold and worked on that. I think the outcome will be they won't get anything less. They will possibly get more corridors or areas to open up with. So I think we can safely say that as we move through the process. So the remaining issue was the credit issue, and at this point staff is ready to move forward with the ordinance to allow full credit for both the non-conforming and the conforming, both inside and outside the target removal area. So that's kind of the summary. Russ Adams is here. I think Lamar is here if they want to have any questions or kind of review it. But that's kind of where we are. If those are the issues, then we can bring back the ordinance as soon as possible without having any title changes or nothing. So the ordinance would be ready to go with those modifications if council thinks that's something they would like to see.
Okay. Are there public comments?
Russ Adams, 731 Southwest 37th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. We did meet. We had a very productive meeting. Matt brought up a great point when we were here in front of council on the 17th. The comp plan does change a lot, and I don't know what the impact of that's going to be, even with my involvement with planning and zoning. And it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to sit here and work all this out right now, knowing that that's going to change and we're going to need a lot of input, both from planning and industry, on how that all works going forward.
Okay.
I think we've reached a great resolution here that will allow us to move forward as the industry and planning, and we can deal with that issue of zoning and put all that together and see how it overlays, because it, when you know, every once in a while you have an aha moment, and Matt hit me with one of those standing right here when he mentioned that, because I never extrapolated out what happens when we go from, what, 31 zoning classifications down to
12, 15.
And we currently are allowed in four. So does that mean we're only going to be allowed in two or one, or where will it be? So we're definitely in agreement.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Are there any questions or conversation, discussion?
And again, I just wanted to mention that we are, you know, going to continue to work with the industry on this. I don't think this ordinance can stand and not be impacted over the next couple of years with changes that are going to be coming, not only on the city side with the comp plan, but also on the industry side in terms of the digital issue moving forward. So I think this ordinance is going to have to be looked at, you know, more as we go through over the next few years.
Mr. Mesley.
I'd just like you to comment a little bit more on the digital issue and the size requirements.
In terms of the
credit?
The credit, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Patty, do you want to get up and kind of, we have some visuals if that would help. I mean, I think that would help in terms of.
I think I have 15 slides if that'll help
put it in
context. Let's go through that.
What the ordinance that was adopted in November of 2011 did versus the planning and zoning recommendation and what we're proposing to bring back. So in the first scenario, it would be for a brand new billboard, one that doesn't exist before. That really is the simplest scenario. And Clear Channel has constructed a new sign on Southwest 17th Street. It has two static faces, and the maximum size of each face is a 378 square feet. And so they were required to remove 378 square feet of other signage. And what they brought forward was a sign on Northeast 36th Avenue, as well as a sign on US 27. That's not an actual photo of the one on 27 because it's gone already. But they removed a total of 900 square feet. They needed to remove 756 for that new sign. So they have a credit of 144 square feet that they can use for another conversion or another new sign. Now for, and this is where the issue was for modifying a non-conforming sign. Because quite often you'll have a sign similar to this. This is a Lamar sign on College Road at Southwest 17th Street. And it is a 672 square foot sign. Each face is 672 square feet. So it's non-conforming as to the size. It's also non-conforming as to the height. With the ordinance that we adopted last November, prior to that, a non-conforming sign could not be modified at all. It was non-conforming. If it wasn't brought into conformance, there could be no changes. But we made a provision whereby they could keep a certain level of the non-conformity. As an example, Lamar requested to keep the height on this one. We brought an agreement forward to City Council in July of this year, and it was approved, allowing them to maintain that non-conforming height, but they are bringing it into conformance as to size and converting one of the faces to digital. In order to do that, they needed to remove other square footage, and so they've proposed to remove two signs within the designated area, we call it the target removal area, the TRA, which is the downtown. And they get double credit for what they remove in the TRA. They also are removing a sign on US 27 out by the entrance to Ocala 489. And that will provide them with the needed square footage for removal. The difference is that the code that was adopted in November only gave credit if the sign face and the supporting structures were removed. So it was completely erased from the streetscape. What Planning and Zoning recommended was that if it's an otherwise conforming sign, we'll give full credit as well for that conversion. Because there's some benefit in reducing the sign from 672 square feet to 378. But their recommendation was if it's a non-conforming sign, they were only going to give half the credit. So, and then the Clear Channel proposal, which we'll be bringing back to you in ordinance form, is 100% credit for those larger faces that are removed but replaced with a smaller face. And to try to keep this from being a math exercise, because it can drive you crazy, with the existing code, they would need to remove all three of those signs. With the planning and zoning recommendation, they would only need to remove two. And with the Clear Channel proposal, they would only need to remove one. We have another non-conforming billboard conversion that's been proposed, and that is another Lamar sign on East Silver Springs Boulevard. It's a 641 square foot sign, so it's non-conforming as to size. They're proposing to reduce it to 300 square feet, one side static, one side digital. And in order to do that, they would be removing these two signs I'm showing you, which are in the target removal area, as well as another sign on US 27 by the entrance to Ocala 489. The other change that was made to the ordinance that was brought forward to P&Z is in November when we adopted, if you were doing a digital sign, you had to remove a set number of square feet. It's 1,512 square feet. But to give greater flexibility to the industry, it's now based on a ratio. So if you're building a smaller sign, you have to remove less square footage. So for this one, since they're proposing a 300 square foot digital, they would need to remove 1,200 square feet, and a 300 square foot static, that would be 300, for a total of 1,500 instead of the 1,890. And again, visually as that plays out, under the existing code, they would need to remove these three signs. Under the P&Z recommendation, they would need to remove two. And under the Clear Channel proposal, they would need to remove one. The very last scenario is a modification to a Clear Channel sign on Southwest 17th Street at Easy Street. And it also is a 672 square foot sign. But they're proposing to convert both sides to digital. So under both the existing code and the proposed code, they would need to remove 3,024 square feet. Clear Channel has submitted a proposal to remove these two signs on North Pine. They do fall within the target removal area, so they would get double credit. But under the existing code, they would need to remove four. I just selected two other signs of inadequate size for demonstration purposes. They could do one other in the TRA. And under the P&Z recommendation, they would need to remove three. And under the Clear Channel proposal, they just need to remove the two. So the question at the heart of the discussion on September 18th was, should credit be given for replacement of a sign face, for reducing a sign face? This is a 672 square foot sign, and then reduced to 378 square feet. The Planning and Zoning Board had recommended full credit if it's otherwise conforming, and only partial credit if it's non-conforming. But the Clear Channel proposal is for the full credit.
So which proposal are we going with?
Full credit.
Full credit.
Full credit. We want to make sure that the ordinance maintains enough incentives for the industry to act accordingly and to work with us and achieve our goals at the same time.
Okay. And our goals are less clutter and
yes.
signage. So you can't, if you're a new player in the industry, you don't have anything to give up. You couldn't really construct this.
There is a buy-in, Patty.
We have a provision in the ordinance that was adopted in November of last year.
Mm-hmm.
for a new digital sign that someone could pay and go if they don't have any inventory. The dollar amount was $150,000, and that was based on an agreement that CBS Outdoor had done with the town of Davie. Similarly, it's very difficult for us to know what the value is of these boards would be without going through a condemnation process. Because to make a board go away, it does have to go through condemnation. $150,000 is probably not going to buy a board, much less three or four boards. That's an uneducated guess on my part. We based it on an agreement that had been entered into between an industry member and a town.
Okay.
The other thing that could happen, again, I don't know if it's realistic, but as boards come down, we do issue a certificate of removal that can be transferred to another company in some manner. We just have a provision that we be notified so that we've got that paper trail that, as an example, when Ray Outdoor sold to Lamar, if they had any certificates of removal, they could have transferred those as part of the
And how long are those certificates of removal or credits good for?
There's no expiration.
No expiration, they're indefinite?
No.
So if someone wanted to put in a new billboard that's not digital, is there what they just find the place, get the permits, and
we don't. They would still need to remove the same amount of square footage as what they were putting up. If they wanted to put up a 200 square foot board, they would need to try to work with a deal with another company to take down 200 square feet of theirs.
So we don't have any kind of pay-in for static boards?
We don't.
So no one can put in a new static board in the city?
We don't.
And the thinking was behind that was that, you know, that we were trying to kind of go away from the static, trying to get rid of and go more towards the digital. So that was, I think, the emphasis more was to place it on the digital because of what we think in the future of it.
I'm struggling with this one. Okay. No one, just so I'm clear, just so I know. There's no provision for any company to add a static board in the city of Ocala.
Only if other inventory is removed.
Only if they can work with a current, like if I decided tomorrow, I think I want to get into the billboard business, I would have to make a deal with someone who's already in that business in order to erect a board.
That's the only way under the ordinance as it's presently written, yes.
Because the whole purpose
even
is
if
to try
I had, even if there was a location that fit all the requirements, it was in the same right zoning, it was in the same place, and I got a deal with the property owner that yes, I would, he's going to lease me the space, and it fits all of the requirements, I can't build a new board and start a business.
The ordinance as it was drafted for adoption in November of last year was drafted as a cap and trade, so that there would be no new boards without some boards being removed. We could do a pay and go for a new static board as well. The idea was that there would be a fund that the city would hold so that if there is a board that was perhaps in the way of a redevelopment plan or a city improvement plan, that we would have that fund available if we wanted to go in and do a condemnation on a board, that those funds would be there. But that was not included for a new static board.
So you know, Ms. Heimbuchel, that's been the law. It's not anything that they are imposing now or started last November. It's been the law since the city adopted the sign code.
So we got so many boards.
This was new as of November 11.
About yeah, November 2011.
You could still build if you found a location? Okay. Yes.
But since November, nobody can build a new billboard in the city.
Without taking down inventory.
without taking down inventory. And so if they don't already have inventory and they want to build a static board because they're new to the business and they can't afford a digital board starting out, they're basically out of luck.
The way it's written now.
Okay.
If the council so directed, we could add a provision, but
well,
that would be a title change.
You go back to the whole purpose of it was to cap the amount of static billboards that were out there so we didn't have any new ones going in because of the clutter. So while I don't like you know, capping free enterprise, I do think that the reduction of the clutter and reduction of the old billboards is a good and noble gesture.
Right, and I understand the purpose of it, and I get that. But you go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, explain to me this question here. I'm looking at the screen here. Should credit be granted for replacement of the sign base? P&Z, oh, you're just taking away what I'm reading.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, I'm like Obama. I can't work without
the teleprompter.
Grandpa,
quick, somebody tell me what I'm supposed to say.
conforming. I mean, why wouldn't you get full credit if you're taking? I mean, that's a piece of property.
We're giving them full credit.
You are. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're asking the question. It's an obvious answer. That's why I was wondering why we're even asking the question.
The question had to do with really doing the conversion to a non-conforming sign.
Okay.
If it's non-conforming, this is non-conforming because it's 672 square feet. The proposal is to reduce it to the maximum size allowed by code, the 378, and convert it to the digital. The ordinance that was adopted in November 2011 only gave credit if the sign face was removed as well as the supporting structure. So it went away.
Right.
What the issue was that, you know, there's some value in reducing the size of these large billboards around town. And what is the value? The Planning and Zoning Board recommended that if it's a conforming sign that's being reduced in size, that full credit be given. And that's the ordinance that was brought forward on September 18th. The issue was if it is a non-conforming sign, that only half credit would be provided, and that's what Clear Channel objected to.
Sure, I would too. I mean, because it's a piece of property that I can rent out for X dollars for a number of years, and just because it's non-conforming, you're still taking away my property.
And and then the other part of that doesn't jive with, or I can't get my hand around, is that if it's a non-conforming, those would be the ones that we would want to further induced to be removed. So it seems like we would instead double the credit rather than give the credit in half. If the non-conforming ones are the ones we want to get rid of the most, that would get more credit than the conforming ones. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, we were providing full credit for removal of the sign and the structure so that it was completely gone. That was the incentive.
Yeah. Right.
So if you just change the sign head, you didn't get the full credit.
I see.
So that's where the incentive was.
Yeah, so it would, the incentive was if it goes completely away, you get more credit. But
I see. But even with the ones that were only non-conforming because of the size, if they reduced them to the conforming size, they were still only getting half credit.
Right, but now our recommendation is to give them full credit.
Okay.
So everybody would get the same credit.
They would get the same credit now.
And any removal done in the target removal area is given double credit, so that we can try to consolidate our efforts and have the most visual impact.
And the target removal areas is the downtown CRA?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
The downtown CRA plus a 1,000-foot radius.
It includes the North Mag and a little bit to the south, so towards the hospital area.
We wanted to pick up the gateways into the downtown.
Can we even go triple for the signs on the S-curve?
It's in the TRA. And the ordinance that was before you on the 18th provides council with even more flexibility and discretion than the ordinance that was adopted in November. In November, a non-conforming sign that was being reconstructed or reconstructed, council could approve an agreement to waive any non-conformity as to height, spacing, setbacks, distance from other signs. But it didn't apply to new signs. And that was the provision that had caused some discussion at P&Z. But when we took the ordinance back to P&Z before coming here, we added that discretion back in, specifically to give council that discretion so that if there is an area, you know, like the S-curve or other areas in town that are on our minds, if we have an improvement going on in that area and we'd really like to get, you know, perhaps the billboards are in the way or may not be designed to be part of the landscape that we're proposing, that a proposal could be brought forward to council and you could make that judgment call as to how it fit with the overall city goals. So even if there is a location that is on a roadway that's not one of the permitted corridors, council can consider that.
And y'all have done two of them so far in different, not that example, but different situations. One of them with Clear Channel, one with Lamar. And that's a different situation than you've got under most of your ordinances. State law specifically permits that type of agreement to let sign companies do things that otherwise not permitted, even though your statutes, your ordinances wouldn't permit it. That's in exchange for the protections that they, extraordinary protections they give sign companies.
So we would be prepared to bring back the ordinance at the 16th meeting with the change, giving the full credit.
What do y'all think about doing some sort of buy-in for static signs and not just digital?
I think you bring up a good point. I mean, there's,
I don't see the need in.
I mean, the fact that you can't come into town and start a business, somehow that just doesn't sit well with me. Now, the chance of someone actually doing that,
right,
probably slim and none, but, you know,
yeah,
I think that we prohibit it could be an issue.
That's concerning.
Well, we don't. They have to go, you know, what's the difference between them going to Lamar or Clear Channel and negotiating to buy some of their signs so they can remove them versus us charging a buy-in fee? I mean, it's, the cost of entry is great, no question about that. So I say let the free market dictate what the cost of entry is. And if somebody wants to come into town and start a billboard business, they're gonna have to pay that cost of entry. They're gonna have to go to Clear Channel or go to Lamar and say, you know, we're coming to town and we're gonna buy some of your old signs. They're gonna say, no, we're not. We're gonna pay you a lot of money. Okay, how much? And that way the free enterprise system works.
Well,
that's just my thoughts.
Well, and I agree, except if they say, no, we're not selling you any signs because we don't want you in this market.
Well, they, you know, you and I, if you get the price up high enough, they will sell the signs.
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Russ is out there.
But because otherwise, we don't know what the cost of entry should be. Just as Patty said a minute ago, it was a swag, you know, guess on the $150,000 for the digital billboard. And so you're gonna have another guess on a static billboard, and I don't think any of us up here are educated enough in appraisal work and condemnation work to figure out what that cost should be.
Well, then what, I mean, for that matter, then do the same with the digital that we're doing with the static. If you want to come in and put a digital sign, then you have to go negotiate and then let the market decide what the entry point of that business is as well.
Oh, you mean even take away the digital?
Take away the buy-in for the digital. I mean,
you're using my argument in reverse on me, aren't you?
She's sharp.
Somebody take that gavel away from her.
But, you know, you do it for one, you do it for the other. And
I didn't propose a $5 trillion tax.
Yeah, my family gets hooked into those tricks too.
Wow.
Once again, welcome to council.
Take the hook out now, please. It hurts. I don't know what to say.
Go ahead.
Russ.
Yeah.
Please jump. Please jump in. I think you're in a unique position. You've been on P&Z.
Coming on five years now.
Yeah, 5 years. So unique position of understanding where council, P&Z, the community as a whole, where we're trying to, you know, this vision, Ocala, you know, 2035, everything that we're trying to do, unique position of sitting here being a part of that, and then you walk down that elevator, get in your car, and then the next morning you go to work.
Well, and throw in that, lived in the city for 21 years, and have owned five different homes, and they've all been in the city. So I've got a lot of different hats I can put on in this. Susie, you made a great point. It's one that we discussed while we were doing this the last 2.5 years. Speaking for Clear Channel, we can go either direction. It doesn't impact us. And the way, you know, if we add this in, I'm assuming the same caveats that exist in the ordinance today, because we don't have the opportunity to enact the $150,000 to buy a digital permit as it stands now. That's something that staff put in place, so that if you have existing square footage in the city, you do not have the option, and it's even went as far as, say, an arm's length corporation company, you don't have the opportunity to go buy a digital permit. You've got to continue to reduce. Part of me is Clear Channel. Sure, I would love to, you know, limit entry into the industry. But then on the other side of it is, you know, if there is a permittable site that's out there, and Clear Channel, Lamar, 4 Media, Magic, which I think are all the ones that are currently operating in the city, there may be one other one, haven't found it and haven't decided that it's profitable to go build that structure for any one of us, and somebody else wants to come in and build that, I don't have a problem having them build it. It's a lot of work to go dig up a permittable location that meets all the criteria, and one we haven't even mentioned, and it happens to fall on a landowner's property who, one, is interested in the additional compensation and interested in working with us. So I don't know the solution. I was sitting back there trying to figure something out when y'all were talking to propose, and actually was whispering in Patty's ears going, you know, we're not going to fight this either way, and would be supportive of it. And I can't figure out, you know, where's the right thing to reach the, now go back to the residence goal. I'd like to see the billboards. There's billboards in town that can go away, and I'll be happy to see them go away. I'd like to see them downsized. I'd like to see them all on the same scale. I would like to see not as many as there are, because we do have a lot. Being in the industry for 30-some-odd years, you don't know how often I run into people and tell them I'm the billboard business in Ocala, and they're going, wow, y'all got a bunch. And that's typically what, and they, you know, their perspective is I-75, and there's a lot. There's some work we can do. So I don't know. One of the ideas I even threw out is if we set a cap on today, and I don't know where this goes, and attorneys tell me crazy, can't do this, but if we set, there's X number of structures today, and until we reach a point where the number of structures has decreased by 33%, you can't build another billboard in the city of Ocala. But at that point, when you get under 33%, or not, can't build another one, but you can't come into the city if you don't have inventory to trade in until the existing players have removed 33% of the structures in the city. Then at that point, can it open up? And I don't know what all the ramifications are. But
so if the percentage was at, you know, 33.9, and what would be the incentive for Clear Channel to then take down one more so that it dropped below and allowed entry? You see what I'm saying?
You know, again, there's so it's free enterprise.
Variables, you're right.
And Cheryl is here from Lamar tonight as well. So, you know, talking in front of them, it's all going to be contributed. It's not going to be individual companies. It's the total inventory within the city.
Right, right.
And it's our jobs to be watching the inventory and seeing what's happening, and it's our jobs to identify the sites. You have put some incentives in place that are to encourage all of the outdoor owners to reduce the number of structures and reduce the size of structures, upgrade the structures. It's all there. So there's a lot of other enticement. You know, if we open one up and it's not one that, for whatever our purpose is, we're not willing to build, and it meets zoning, spacing, height, and everything else, I'll hate it when I drive home at work and see it and go, how'd they find that one and we missed it? But, you know, we do that now here and in other cities and counties and everything else, because I know every time I see Lamar build one, my first question is, how did we miss it? And I'm sure when we build one, they, you know, think the same thing, because it's, if that's all part of doing business.
Well, I was going to say, and then the other irony for me, Russ and I sit on TDC together. He's the chairman of TDC. We meet once a month, and we have three-hour meetings, and usually there's a 45-minute block of that meeting where you're trying to market Ocala, Marion County, and we have conversations about billboards and what we're going to put on them and how do we get people into the downtown and how do we get people to Silver Springs and how do we get people to the horse park and how do we get all this stuff. And we come up with all these, you know, doesn't look great on a billboard. Where's a billboard that we can take it somewhere so we can get people in the downtown area? And then we turn around, and on one hand, they're
Susie
evil.
Susie wants to get into business, I think.
I don't want, you know.
Let
so
me,
it's,
let
it's,
me work with you, Daniel.
You know, it's, you know, yeah, with our marketing plan, right. with you're trying to market, it's like, we need billboards. We love billboards. Just don't put them in our backyard, you know. We want you in our backyard. We don't know how you got here, and you probably got here with a billboard, but by God, once you get here, just forget the billboard. So it's an interesting.
It's you sort of a little quick hit. The reason we have so much outdoor here is because the biggest industry in this county was tourism. And Silver Springs, Six Gun Territory, and everything else that brought people here, and the way to get them off the interstate after we had moved all the traffic off 441, this is way before I knew anything about anything.
And what are those 130,000 cars a day that literally run through the middle of our county on 75?
I think that's a little bit high. I think that's downtown Orlando's about those kind of numbers. But we're probably in the 40s somewhere. But it's a tremendous amount of traffic that's sitting out there that's going through. And TDC made an exception in the advertising portion, because all the advertising has got to be spent outside the county to bring people in. And you couldn't buy billboards off of I-75 in Marion County with TDC funding. But after a lot of research and a lot of thought that went into it, and myself and the former general manager of Lamar both sat on the marketing committee at the time, and y'all know Joe Salyers, and there were a bunch of other people, the decision was that with the exception of I-75, because of the tremendous number, you know, potential tourists that we've got, that even if we can pull them off the interstate long enough for a tank of gas, lunch, maybe a little bit of shopping, and spend some time in Marion County, to then think about coming back and spending the night, it made sense. So we exempted I-75 and I-95, and I think there's a 62-mile parameter that we put, that you can't buy billboards with TDC funding inside that, with the exception of the major arteries.
Okay.
Just another side move.
Yeah.
All
right.
So. Don't you?
Well, I'm okay with taking the ordinance as they propose it, and if we need to amend it later on to allow a reentry, if somebody can come up with a number that makes sense, or if we need to delete at some point in time in the future the digital. That's to get it moving forward.
Right.
I mean, I'm okay with it either way, but it does make sense to probably add some type of a little bit of language to give someone at least an opportunity. I don't think it'll actually happen. It's too cost prohibitive, but either way.
Okay. You good with all right. Do y'all have
We'll bring back the ordinance with the full credit,
okay.
And keep working it.
All right.
All right.
Are there any further public comments on this? Is there anything else from council? Any discussion or comment?
Madam President, you, Matt Brower had sent to you and Councilman Owen a invitation for the Florida League of Cities meeting, perhaps this Friday. Mm-hmm. And if you have any questions concerning preparation, if you do plan to attend that meeting, and Streeter's here now, I know he sent you some attachments. Okay. If you have any questions or any resources you need, if you do plan to attend, please let us help you if you can.
Okay.
You just need an address.
I've got that right here.
All right.
I'll get that from you after the meeting. Okay. So.
Okay. Thank you very much. We're adjourned.
Keyboard.
I thought we were going to be able quicker than that.
This keyboard just goes with this thing. This
That's
is Asus Prime, yeah. Sometimes it does queer things with my fingers, but I like it to type longer emails. Plus, I like the fact that it adds about 6 or 8 hours of battery life to this.
Does it?
Why? You have this, but not this?